The official end of the Holocaust was May of 1945, and in the 73 years since then, many of the survivors have passed away. But some are still here and telling their stories. Robbie Feinberg spoke with some survivors in Maine who are seeking and finding a much younger audience to keep these stories from being forgotten.
I was born in Strasbourg, which is on the border of France and Germany.
On a recent weekday morning, Charles Rotemill sits down in front of a large blue projector screen at the Holocaust and Human Rights Center in Augusta. He begins to recite a story he's told to thousands of students across Maine. On this day, he's speaking to just a handful. He shows them an image of a young girl being executed by Nazi officials.
This girl is 16 years old. How old are you guys? How old are you?
13.
Can you imagine?
Rotemill tells them that he's a witness, a hidden child, a Jewish boy who grew up in Hitler's Germany during the time of the Holocaust and lost his mother, sister, and father. As millions of Jews were taken from their homes and sent to concentration camps, Rotemill and his brother went into hiding. They found shelter with a Catholic monk and later with a Catholic family. But Rotemill says he still came face to face with death on multiple occasions. Nazi soldiers, he says, would ransack the homes of people they suspected were harboring Jews.
The interrogation would be a desk with a lamp shining in your eye. And one by one, they were interrogating people. And then they put into a truck that was waiting outside. Well, my turn came. One of them says, "Bist du Jude? Are you a Jew?"
On the large projection screen, Rotemill displays newspaper headlines and hateful messages he'd see every day.
Talking about fake news, I mean, all you had was propaganda. You just made a practice. You don't believe what you hear. And you half believe what you saw in the newspaper.
Yet it was a newspaper ad in a German-language Jewish publication in the United States that ultimately brought Rotemill to America. Rotemill's aunt and uncle saw the names of him and his brother in a list of survivors published in the months following the end of World War II. In 1946, at the age of 14, Rotemill emigrated to the United States. But for decades, he says, he still hid his story and identity, afraid it could make him a target, even in a new country.
In fact, my brother was very against talking about it. He said, "You're dwelling on the past." And I said to him, look, I don't dwell on the past. The past dwells in me. It's there, it's churning.
And about 30 years ago, with the encouragement of the former director of Maine's Holocaust and Human Rights Center, Rotemill says he decided to tell his story publicly. It was nerve-wracking, he says, to share long-hidden details. But he soon saw the impact, as students would come up to him from the audience and share their own stories of trauma.
Those are important conversations for us to be having.
David Greenham is the associate director of the Holocaust and Human Rights Center, which later this week will bring together Rotemill and others with firsthand stories for an event looking back on the 80th anniversary of Kristallnacht. That was the night in 1938 when troops across Germany destroyed stores, buildings, and synagogues and arrested thousands of Jewish residents.
It's a story of the rhetoric suddenly and on purpose turning to violence. And here we are in a time of tremendous rhetoric. What are the limits of rhetoric? How far does our freedom of speech get stretched before violence happens, before something occurs?
And Edith Pagelson, another Holocaust survivor who will also take part in the event, says she sees some of that hateful rhetoric manifesting itself today across the country and Western world.
I always say it can't come here, you have to watch out. And I also say, you know, it's a free country, but don't abuse that free. That's what I'm saying.
Pagelson says she was devastated when she heard the news late last month that 11 people were killed in a shooting at Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue. The attack comes as anti-Semitic hate crimes were already on the rise in recent years. Yet Pagelson is also encouraged by the response to the shooting, bringing together thousands of people in vigils nationwide, representing many different faiths.
My son called me from upstate New York. He went to a service in Saratoga Springs, and he says all the churches came. That was a good one.
You know, you teach that to kids, I mean, they're going to believe
Charles
it.
Rotemill was encouraged by the response, too. But he also says it's important to keep telling his story, so lessons aren't forgotten years down the road.
Well, people like me are disappearing. So they had the opportunity to meet a witness. Like I started my talk, I'm not a historian. I'm a witness. I was there.
And he'll tell his story again this Friday afternoon at the Holocaust and Human Rights Center in Augusta. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.